This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 5 o'clock on The Fan, and it's time for The Lead with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin on Afternoon Drive.
Mock Me coming up in 1 hour's time. Nick and JP back with you on The Fan. Get your mock drafts in at Nick Wilson Says, and we will grade them, we'll react to them alongside the pro mock drafts as well. But you guys can win a pair of tickets to see the Cavs take on the Spurs March 27th at Rocket Arena. Enter the word. We're scrolling down. Cavs! By the end of this hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win. It's all from the Cleveland Cavaliers Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. And your boys, Nick and JP. We do have a report. Tom Pelissero saying Jerome Baker visited with the Cleveland Browns. I'm assuming that he means today he visited with the Cleveland Browns.
Hopefully, yeah.
Not just like over the, you know, it's been a nice offseason. They went to maybe Greece together, had some...
What are they doing in Greece? Having some wine?
Definitely some wine.
Over the...
I'd say Euros, but that just feels like
a little too on the nose?
Some great Mediterranean salads.
You a Euro or a Giro guy when you pronounce it?
Euro, yeah. You mean gyro? That was the other
one. Some people do a lot of that, yeah. Man, I love that. I always think of the sack he had on Patrick Mahomes. It was a 30-yard sack a couple years ago. He like destroyed Mahomes all game long, and I'm convinced that's how he ended up getting that big deal he ended up getting.
Meanwhile, let's get to the lead brought to you by Slater & Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com joined them on the boys today to talk the Browns and Deshaun Watson's training video. It just seemed to be pretty performative. He released earlier this week. That is not what Mary Kay said. I was editorializing. She also gave her thoughts on whether we might actually see Watson suit up for the Browns again.
There could be a world in which, yeah, he would be ready by December or late November or something like that. But right now, I do not think that the Browns have that in their plans. It's not in their thinking. I really don't see him playing for the Cleveland Browns again. But stranger things have happened, and I don't think we can completely slam the door shut on it.
Yeah, stranger things have happened. I don't think it's likely, but what I'm interested by is, so last hour, Nick, we went down the road of there being a couple different paths the Browns could end up taking. If they don't take a quarterback at number two, we could see them just take this as their poison pill and just swallowing the idea that this year is going to stink and they're not going to put any money or resources additionally towards the quarterback spot. And if that's the case, well, then maybe you end up in a spot where Kenny Pickett gets injured, Joe Flacco, whoever else it is, ends up getting injured, and then the guy you're paying $46 million to ends up actually seeing the field.
Yeah, I just think that the simple reality is, as long as Deshaun Watson is getting paid by the Cleveland Browns and his contract is, meaning he hasn't been released, you know, whatever, like, there's a chance. It might be a 1% chance.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a 25% chance. But you cannot speak with impunity and say definitively he won't. There's a part of me that I think, and I think a part of all of us knows how that would go, right?
Yeah, not great.
And listen.
And it would signal the season is shot beyond shot.
And in fairness, we don't need any more divisiveness. I would like the next year, even if the Browns aren't going to be good, I'd like the next year to be about Browns fans moving past the absolute toxic history we've had with quarterbacks. I'd like the Browns to move past some of that toxic locker room stuff too, but I'll at least go. Like, I'm sick of seeing Browns fans fight over Deshaun Watson. The race is run.
Yep.
It still might have another 10 feet, though, and that's always going to be a threat that can happen as long as he's under contract with the Browns.
What do you think is more likely? He ends up just so close to coming back to his return to the field and is healthy around week 3 or so, whatever it ends up being, where he's like, all right, you're cleared from the last injury, and then another injury just pops up, and then we just never actually see him come anywhere close to suiting up on the sidelines, or he does actually appear in a game.
The second one. There's just such little pressure. There's not going to be any rush to get him back. So as long as the Browns are in the up and up and not being like, yeah, he's injured, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's not one of those, you can get in a lot of trouble for doing that. And I would not think the Browns would want to take that risk. I still think it's probably more likely than another injury happens. But in fairness, I didn't think coming off a shoulder injury and then popping Achilles.
Shedeur Sanders skipped out in the Big 12 Pro Day this afternoon, but did speak with the media. A possible top overall pick comes in with high expectations, and Shedeur said he knows how to deal with things like that.
I like the pressure that comes with everything. I say pressure is also a privilege. So if you don't have pressure on you, then, you know, I don't know what you're doing. So that's why I'm thankful, and I'm truly blessed that I am in a position and the situation that I'm in, because I wouldn't want no other way.
He's a confident kid. We like that. Here's what I will say.
Yeah.
Shedeur is the most lightning rod of college quarterbacks. When it comes to his appeal, both on social media and reality,
mm-hmm.
there is a relevance that's going to come with him. So he's got a lot of exposure. It still doesn't come close to the amount of exposure you get when you're the face of an NFL franchise. You're big on social media. You're big on TikTok. That's awesome. But when it comes to pressure, yeah, you've always also been in a situation where you're protected by virtue of your relationship to the guys in power. So this isn't to say, right? This isn't to say that watch out for this. What it is to say is you've never had this much pressure, and we don't know how you're going to react when you can't just go to dad and be like, dad, what should I do in this scenario?
And I do wonder, we played another clip that is adjacent to what you're talking about, where he mentioned how he was basically kind of like a quasi-GM at Colorado, and he was picking his wide receivers, he was picking his offensive linemen, and he was, you know, getting his say. I think about it within the Browns, and I referenced Baker earlier, but even with Deshaun, how many times did Deshaun campaign for DeAndre Hopkins? Remember at that golf tournament, he went like so hard in the paint, like DeAndre Hopkins can still do it, and he's great. And by the way, DeAndre then went to Tennessee and had like a 1,000-yard season. It's not like Deshaun was wrong, but the Browns didn't listen to Deshaun then. They didn't. And if you're not going to listen to Deshaun in that moment, I do wonder if it signals that they wouldn't listen to Shedeur either. I'm of the belief you should listen to your quarterback when they have suggestions, but it won't be nearly the same rate that maybe Shedeur is comfortable or used to.
That sound is courtesy of NFL Network, by the way. And all right, so this made me think, like, we always have talked about the power LeBron had in his early in his career, where his entourage was in the underling. We're talking like as a rookie. He had more power as a rookie than a fair amount of stars did in the NBA at that time.
Yeah.
Because the Cavs were so desperate in need of relevance in a superstar. If he had gone to a fair amount of NBA teams, he wouldn't have had that. I do think there's a similar power dynamic with the Browns. And I don't know it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think bears watching. I think there is a thirst for leadership in that building. And with leadership comes a lot of power. And so this does go back to my doubt about Kevin Stefanski as a leader, and my biggest concern about him continues to be, can he lead these guys, or does Kevin Stefanski go as whatever wayward locker room goes?
Yeah.
I think that's what makes yes, if Shedeur steps in and he's great at leadership, cool. What are the other things that he's going to get alongside that? Because that will create a power dynamic. And I think the power dynamic with Baker was problematic for Kevin. I don't know if that'll be the same issue 5 years later, but I think it's something to keep in mind.
Just keep in mind the idea of, I don't know how Shador will react the first time he doesn't get what he wants.
Yes.
It seems like he got everything he wanted at Colorado, yep. And I don't think that's going to be the setup here in Cleveland.
The Cavaliers, once again, losers last night out in Sacramento. LeBron James, Carmen, and Anthony Lima had Andy Gresh of the Infinity Sports Network on to talk about their recent skid, and he said the wine and gold might need a certain type of player once the playoffs start.
I think Max Strus has played the most amount of playoff games of anybody on the Cavs. And if I'm not mistaken, little Peyton Pritchard has played in more playoff games than like Donovan Mitchell. And when you look at it, that's where I wonder if it's really going to come down to a game 5, a game 6, or a game 7. Does Donovan Mitchell have enough Superman in him to be able to overcome everything that's on the other side? I feel like Cleveland has gotten better. They're taking the next step, as we've seen. That's what you got to do in the NBA, but they still need another Superman light beside Donovan Mitchell when you start to deal with these teams like the Celtics that are layered and layered.
Okay, that's clearly a guy that just watched Jaylen Brown be the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and the NBA Finals MVP. And it's like, somebody outside of your superstar needs to take over and do this. We don't have a Tatum Brown setup, but we do have four really good players.
Yeah, also, on any given night, you have a different Superman light. It could be Evan Mobley in some matchups. It could be...
It's not Batman and Robin, but it is a dealer's choice almost.
It could be Darius, and it could be DeAndre Hunter. He's been what I hoped he would be and more since he came here. And again, wings matter in the playoffs. He could be one of those guys to do that as well. So I understand what Andy's saying. I just think it doesn't have to be just one guy.
Any new additions to the core five? Have you tried to expand the core four into five now?
What do you mean?
New names.
Oh, new names?
We had a whole bunch of names come just dripping in to get a new name. Because obviously you can't call them the core five. That doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
That doesn't even make sense. That's forcing it, I would say.
A lot of people wanted to go bilingual in this one.
I don't hate that. We got the Fly Five.
The Fly Five.
Yeah. We have Sugar Ray come out. Oh, wait, no. I just want to fly. Yeah, no.
If we extended it out to make it five and obviously omitted Max Strus, is that the biggest diss to Max Strus we can possibly give?
And I think it's the appropriate diss. AJ saying, what about the dominant five? And he ChatGPT'd it. So we got the Phantom Five. Huh? Huh?
Yeah, but if they don't show up, then they'll really be the Phantom Five.
Yeah, I guess that's right. We don't want them to be. I still think we're sleeping a little bit on Cinco de Lando.
Okay.
I don't know it's great.
I don't know that it's great either.
But maybe that's what's great about it. It's like art.
Well, the Wind Frog wasn't great.
That's true.
It just needed to exist. It just needed to exist.
Yeah. So Cinco de Lando it is.
No one's going to get it when we reference it. But you are the originator of the core four. So maybe we just need to start saying
it. People are calling
me. We just need to start saying it.
The sober, faithful Don Draper of Cleveland media. And also the Michael Jordan.
Is that what they're saying?
The lead is brought to you, and you're also Michael Jordan. The lead is brought to you by Slater and Sears. Experience you need, results you want, and there are... sample size. Yep. Doesn't mean you can't be concerned. That's 5 minutes from now on 92.3 The Fan. Cavs concerns here in a few moments. We do have Mock Me coming up in 40 minutes again. Send in your mock drafts at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin. And use hashtag mock me. They can be just the number two pick. They can be the first 10 picks. A first round mock. It can be just Browns picks. It can involve trades, no trades. Really, it's however you want to do it. Send them in. We'll be reacting to the pros, the McShays, the Sycamas, the De Leons. And we'll react to yours as well and give it a grade and tell you what we think. You've created a monster, though. Just so you know, you've created a monster.
Have.
Yeah, you have.
Is it okay?
Because last night, you know, we're still bringing the man cave slash office along, right? We're setting up the floating shelf. We've got the desk set up.
Are you realizing you're a couple marketplace jerseys away from perfection?
I think I have. And so last night. I don't even know what brought it on. Actually, no, I do know what brought it on.
That really
I,
what it was? This is a really good guess if that's the case.
Yeah, because I think we've talked about this previously, about how I've dabbled in the idea of getting signed merchandise for the office.
Yeah, basically once I laid out for you, because I for the longest time I've also wanted some signed jerseys, and yeah. I always thought they were just out of my price range completely. And in my mind, like a LeBron James, not a Ken Carmen, a LeBron James signed jersey was like $5,000, just yeah. An insane amount of money, and it's just not true.
Yeah, well, and so last night I was like, okay, because Ed Belfour, who was the great Blackhawks goalie yeah. back in the day,
mm-hmm.
there is a signed helmet, and hockey masks / helmets are the best.
They do look really cool.
There, and so that somehow that popped up on my feed, and it was only $50 to if you wanted to be the next, if you wanted one up whoever previously I almost said voted bid. And I was like, oh, so I click into that.
Wait, are we on eBay or are we on Marketplace?
We're actually on an auction site.
Oh, wow, you do auction sites.
I just did. I just started
wow.
to.
Yeah. I kind of want to get in the auction site game.
Here's the thing. I don't know that I even want to be on it.
That sounds kind of fun. I mean, not eBay, obviously. I've done that. But, I mean, is this if you're getting deals like this.
Well, here's the thing. That's not the one I went with. I put a bid in on a Hosey
yeah.
jersey, a signed jersey.
All right.
That'll go in my glass tabletop coffee table. And for no reason, it does not fit the decor of my office. It does not fit the color scheme of my office.
You're going to make it fit.
It'll stand out easy. It'll stand out like a sore thumb, a Sean Kemp 1989-90 Sonics jersey.
Ah, back when he was skinny.
Yeah, was super skinny. Some said too skinny. And it's signed. It's not even signed on the front.
But a Cavs jersey you might have been able to wear.
Easy
now.
You might still have to stitch two of them together. But no, so now I'm just waiting, wondering if I'm going to have to explain to Vanessa how I bid without thinking surely someone else will bid on these. No one else has bid on these. We got about an hour and a half before I have to explain how
Let's
I spent $125 between two jerseys when I just
Wait,
told
between
her
two? Like just both cost $125 or together? Each
together.
One costs together. They
Yeah.
What a steal that
I
is.
I think the Sean Kemp one's like $40, and I think the Hosey one I bid.
There's no explaining.
Might have been $70.
This just happened. It was a deal of a lifetime, and you just had to roll with it. What type of J-Ram jersey is it? It's not like a cheap knockoff jersey that he happened to sign.
No, it is it's official Gardo's one, but I wanted a Guardians one and not an Indians one. But they only had the red Guardians.
Yeah, you can't
jersey.
Be picky if you want to yeah. do this with the jerseys.
I really
wanted
a City Connect, if we're being honest.
Yeah,
but I didn't. That one was like $135.
I know. I saw a Stephen Kwan City Connect one the other day for like $175. It was a little too out of my price range for Stephen Kwan.
But my thinking was, well, I mean, it's only $70 here. But also thinking, surely one of these, I'll get in some sort of bidding war. There's no bidding war. I'm the bid.
Well, all right, we're not going to say the website now because I don't want someone to bid against you. We are rooting for you to win this, right?
I kind of might want somebody to go to Pristine Auctions.
Well, there we go. Okay.
And at least find one of them.
This is what this is. Now we got there. Okay.
You guys really need a Sean Kemp jersey.
What a move this was. I got myself in a bind. I didn't really want to buy this. And so,
I think
go to the website, place some bids for me, please. And, we can call this one a day.
I think,
JP, by the way, talk up what a deal this is.
Yeah, by the way, $40.
It really
for a
is a deal, though.
It's like, a heck
I mean,
of a deal.
Really, it's a great deal.
And listen,
I might outbid you in between the break.
Please do. We'll have a bidding war. Wink, wink.
Wink.
But yeah, so, and now the problem is, though, like, the problem with signed merchandise is you 80% want everything, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, but there's nothing 100% I wanted. Like, I was torn between a Hosey jersey and a Hosey bat.
You can't place a bid if that's the mentality that you're going to have on
that's
it.
That's hence the Pristine auction.
Jose would be in your list of all-time players that you would want signed memorabilia hanging up from, right?
Yeah, I just didn't love the jersey. That's the problem.
Yeah, okay. Well, you got to wait your turn and take another crack at it.
I boxed myself in a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, no one forced your hand to place the bid, buddy.
I did.
I know.
I forced my hand. I got a little antsy in the pantsy and thought to myself, well, next month when we put that first mortgage payment in, I'm never going to spend on a damn thing again.
I mean, I think this is such a great deal, though, that I wouldn't even really fret it.
And that one will tie the room together because that one's going in the family tabletop, the coffee table that I just got a glass top. It's going to look beautiful.
Okay.
The Sean Kemp one, I still don't know. It just does not fit anything we're going to do there, and that's going to be an interesting one.
I do think it's funny how encouraging I am for you to spend your own money, by the way. I've noticed this. You're going to live out my autographed jersey dream, because I just talk about it all day.
You inception the hell out of me.
I'm never going to actually do it is the problem. I go on eBay all the time, and I look up, like, Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the ones I wanted. I was stuck on Mark McGwire jerseys the other day, and I get in that zone, but I'm never going to pull the trigger, and I know this about me.
I couldn't. I thought about searching Mark McGwire, because I love Mark McGwire in Oakland before he started...
Like a hipster McGwire fan?
Yeah, no. I can't remember.
You like the Bass Brothers. You like Canseco McGwire.
Well, and I can't remember which one it was, because it's not the Ken Griffey Jr. game, but in one of the games, I think it was a Game Boy game, I would always move Mark McGwire to the Guardian of the Indians roster, because it was like Mark McGwire, Albert Bell, Manny Ramirez, and Jim Thome. It was a lot of fun. Eddie Murray.
By the way, I looked up a lot of Pujols jerseys too. I was in a Cardinals phase, apparently.
I couldn't get a Pujols jersey. I'm not that tired.
I always liked Albert, but I lived in St. Louis too, though.
It also did hammer home how few players I'm willing to actually own memorabilia of. Because it was like Hosey, it was Reggie White. I did search just kind of generic Browns and you know, Cleveland ones.
Yeah.
But there was maybe like LeBron stuff. I don't need it. I don't really need it. And also, I don't want to spend that much money, even though it's affordable.
So in my head, I wanted to do LeBron and MJ, because they're my two favorite basketball players of all time. And it's convenient that obviously it just is what it is. But I have such a unique relationship with both, and that I grew up in the 90s as a kid in Chicago loving MJ. And then obviously I was here in Cleveland. I've covered LeBron. Like, it's just I have a weird relationship with what is potentially the two greatest players to ever play the game. So like, I'd like that. I think that'd be kind of cool. But I'm never going to pull the trigger on it. Even as cheap as it ends up being, I'm never going to pull the trigger on it. I know that.
So from my fears of me actually winning these two auctions to the Cavs' fears, listen, I agree sample size. I do. I'm not panicking. But I don't like that just any time you try to analyze basketball at any point, it ultimately comes down to whether it's enough games to react to how things are happening.
Sure.
I thought Danny Cunningham gave a great explanation on why he's not concerned about the three-game schneid and even the few games before that, because there isn't like a specific through line of one specific thing that is killing them right now. It is death by 1,000 paper cuts. Every night there's a different reason for the loss. So I like that. But I also think, like, guys, they haven't lost three games in a row, but one other time this year.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime they go in a negative schneid, I do think it's okay to look at this and go, all right, what are the possible reasons for this? And are these things that if this happens for another three games that we should start to be really concerned with?
Yeah, and for me, it goes just beyond the three games, right? You took Portland into overtime. You had the Hornets game that came down to the final minute of play. Like, it should feel, and at least it feels like more than just a three-game losing streak. I go back to, though, the 13-point lead last night that they blew, the 12-point lead against the Clippers, the 13-point lead against the Magic. I haven't seen this team blow leads that way. Even the three-game losing streak they had earlier in the season, they weren't blowing double-digit leads. That's the disappointing part to me.
Yeah, it's weird. They went from not showing up until the third quarter and then cavalanching to showing up really big early in the game and then being unable late in games to cavalanche.
The Kings missed 19 of their first 23 shots last night. They scored 15 points in the first quarter. Like, Nick, we've been talking about how late these games get underway. I had a little bit more energy last night. I was prepared to see that one through the entire way. But after the first quarter, I was like, I guess I don't have to. I stayed with it because I had nothing better going on, and that's just reality in my life right now. But there was no through line.
So we're going to get to... So these are not things that I'm afraid of, but they are things I've either heard on the station or seen on social media. We're just going to go fair or unfair.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I like it. Let's do it.
The Cavs are wearing down at the end of the season. Is this a fair concern right now or unfair?
Unfair. Everyone is exhausted at this time of the year, and it's incredibly hard to even play up for some of these games. I don't know that they're wearing down. I don't think wearing down is the issue. Although, if you want to make a case, Darius might be wearing down. I could hear that.
Well, I mean, Darius and Donovan, their second half numbers are not.
They're not great, but Darius is also a little tinier of a guy. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, it's not as if, like, the NBA season's a long season.
So wearing down is about energy. It's about fatigue. It is also about health.
Which is weird because we thought this wouldn't be the case with them based off of how Atkinson had managed their minutes. But it seems like if you buy into that, then you're buying into the theory that what Atkinson has already done didn't necessarily matter.
Well, Jarrett's not healthy 100%.
Yeah.
I think Darius is just a little worn down. It's been ever since that Knicks game, too.
The fall that he had himself.
So,
and you know how the Cavs are with injuries. He might actually have something going on and they not even tell us.
Now, here's the thing. Where I end up coming out, I probably think it's unfair to put any of the last seven games on that wholly, or as like the number one concern, mostly because of what you said, which is we're 87% of the way through the NBA season. There isn't a team that is... This is the next run after January, which are the dog days of the NBA season.
Yeah.
Before you get within like 2 weeks of the postseason, it absolutely is just a sludge fest.
Yeah, I liked how you put it earlier, calling it senioritis.
Yeah.
Exactly what it feels like. That like last month or two of your senior year of high school or even college when you're getting ready to just get out of there, it just feels a little bit different.
I had that as a sophomore in college, and so I stopped going.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. And now...
Yeah, you thought
now
it was
the Michael Jordan of afternoon
that's
drive.
Right. You thought it was the other Michael Jordan of afternoon drive. You thought it was a 2-year program. It's okay.
Yeah. Listen, I didn't plan for 4 years. I planned enough energy for 2.5. All right. So fair or unfair? But real quick, 216-474-0092. What's your biggest fear with the Cavs' struggle? So we agree it's unfair to say they're wearing down at the end of the season. What about they're just streaky? What about this is just like, if the positive of streaking is 90% of what they do, this is the 10% swing back negative. This is some sort of a regression to the mean for how they play, which can be a little hilly up and down hills and valleys.
Yeah, I buy into the idea that they are streaky, but I have a hard time with the way these games have gone to suggest its streakiness, because that would involve the teams they're playing being as hot as they are. Like, think about it. Like, the Kings last night for three quarters just absolutely annihilated them. They shot out of their minds. It's really what the three games have been. It's just teams just shooting out of their minds.
216-474-0092.
Is that the Cavs' streakiness side of things, or is that just them not playing defense? What is that?
I mean, I do tend to think the Cavs are losing these games as opposed to the other teams are winning.
So we'd put that on defense then.
I would put that on just streakiness, and maybe that's kind of the thing we haven't talked about, which is, well, at least I haven't said since early senioritis and just kind of being like over the regular season. And again, I think it's probably some of all of these things, but yeah, I think the streakiness is a big part of this, and I think some of that goes into, can we get to the first round of the NBA playoffs so far? What's your biggest fear with the Cavs' struggles? We got two more, and we're going to come back with, I think, what is the most likely to be fearful of, even if I don't know that I'm all the way in my own fears with it. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
No one from Journey's there.
You got Neil Sean in it.
Okay.
You got the bassist who's suing Neil Sean in it. I think the keyboard guy.
We have two people that are in the band and they're suing each other but doing concerts together?
Yeah.
That's wild. Now, What's he suing them over?
Okay. Financial impropriety.
But they're still doing concerts together?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
That's bonkers.
They've been doing concerts together, like, off and on. They've been in, like, a huge social media war. You didn't know about this?
I had no idea.
I thought you were, like, the Journey guy on the station.
Yeah, definitely not the Journey guy on the station.
That is either Andy Baskin or Jeff Phelps.
Well, I need, like, a behind the music on this. Could you imagine, like, you suing me and me being like, let's go to work tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, of course. You still got to make money.
So
I think it's Jonathan Cain and Neil Sean are suing each other. There's a third guy in it. And then at one point, Ariel Pineda, the singer, the Steve Perry replacement, was like publicly Facebooking, because this is how old these guys are. They're all on Facebook. This is all going down on Facebook.
I like that all the athletes these days, it all goes down on Twitter and it all goes down on Instagram and TikTok. These guys, they fight on Facebook.
And they're just like, he's just like, I just want to sing the songs that mean so much to me, but I can't. I feel like I'm being locked out of my band. I think at one point he accused Neil Sean of locking him out of the band, which is wild because they hadn't been touring. It's awesome. It is like
I just want to meet these guys now and be like, you guys are problematic humans, aren't you? You got a lot of fights.
I think so. And you know, Neil Sean is either married to or dating. Remember the wedding crashers at Obama's White House? the Michelle Suleiman, and I don't remember her husband, and nobody does because he wasn't the attraction there. But she left her husband for Neil Sean. For Journey. She crashed the White House and then left. I promise you, I'm not making any of this up.
I'm sure when you got all this information at some point, and like you were like, "This is never going to come in handy. This is just." And now I've just given you I've given you the opportunity to go ahead and express it. So it was all worth it. Incredible.
You're welcome.
Absolutely incredible.
You are welcome, Cleveland. You're welcome. And don't stop believing. Coming your way in about 15 minutes here. That's not happening. That's a false tease. Now. We were doing the biggest fears with the Cavaliers, and
that rhymed.
If only we could get something that rhymes with five for the Cavs. Donovan Darius struggles. Is that a fair or unfair potential concern right now for the Cavaliers?
So that one is fair. Not necessarily. I'm not worried about Donovan in any sort of way. But there's a part of me that is worried that maybe Darius was playing a little bit over his skis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested. We'll keep tabs on it. I'm not freaking. I'm not panicking out. But we'll keep tabs on it.
I think it is a significant concern, and I think you're okay to be concerned with it. There's not a lot you can do. If either guy's hurt or if either guy's run down, there's not a lot you can do other than do what they've done, which is rest them as much as possible.
Yeah.
But guys, it's been since the All-Star break. That is more than a month in the past that both guys have been not as good as the first half of the season. If Darius or Donovan are 60% or both of them are 60%, you might not make it out of the first two rounds. I think we're getting a little bulletproof here with this Cavs team. A part of the struggles the last 2 years are that they were worn down or injured. That was a fair amount. Okay, at least last year. Two years ago, they were just deer in headlights. They were as healthy as you can be.
You got punched in the face. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to dismiss it. Because what I absolutely hate that we can sometimes do is we go, well, Donovan and Darius, well, they're just right. They'll be ready for the playoffs. And then when the playoffs come, it's the, we should have known. Yeah, we should have. So I don't think this is one you can ignore. I think you can ignore a nebulous thing that is not, you can't prove, like being worn down or they're streaky. Because, again, those are not scientific. Two dudes not performing up to who they were earlier in the year, that feels like something to not just keep an eye on until the playoffs. Pay attention to now.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've been worried about him since the fall. I think there's more to that than maybe they're leading on and letting us know.
Which is good, cause in fairness, they did that with the jaw last year as well. And
they do that.
Yeah.
Like
I think every team does now.
Yeah, which is fine. You want to do that, that's fine, but I also think it's to speculate on it.
All right, final one. They're buckling under the pressure of their own success.
Yeah, that one doesn't add up to me.
Yeah, vibes are down, but I don't think it's because of pressure.
Yeah.
Now... that's something that if they went on that kind of schneid in the playoffs, we probably wouldn't just chuck it up to streaking or being worn down. We'd probably say, were the lights too bright again?
And we've, by the way, we've removed them from any sort of pressure they would have for the rest of the season, because 70-win chase would have been a little bit of pressure. Now that that's not even on the table, there's zero pressure the rest of the way.
Do you think they know that the 67 wins gets them the franchise all-time record?
I don't know, because I saw a couple interviews with them last night, and it seemed like half the locker room didn't even understand that 70 was now out of play.
Yeah, that's fair. I do think they've been aware of certain things. They definitely didn't know about the Central Division. I would say
no.
The single season franchise record for wins in a year, I would imagine that's a little bit more prominent for them than winning a division that has no actual advantage other than you get to say you were the Central Division champs for the first time since LeBron in 2018.
I do think we care about the LeBron side of this more than they care about surpassing LeBron's regular season win total.
Yeah, probably. Because most of these dudes weren't here.
Yeah, they just don't have the same relationship with it that we do.
And LeBron is just a guy they've watched in the NBA since they grew up. Dave, in Mentor, real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Dave.
Living the dream.
Hey, yeah, I agree. The defense has been a major problem the last couple days and the last couple weeks, but especially, like you said, the last month. But the point I wanted to make was, about this three-game losing streak. If I'm not correct... Donovan Mitchell missed a couple of games. Evan Mobley was out one of those games. Darius Garland, like you said, we've been resting all these guys, which is basically all we need to really look forward to, is we just need to worry about getting the one seed in the East. And if you have to, be on the road in the finals, so be it. But as long as you're the one seed in the East, that's all that really matters.
Dave, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. 216-474-0092. We've run down four potential suggestions for the Cavs Schneid. Not just the last three games, but obviously the four or five games before that. Just for that stretch, because I know that there's, you know, playoffs are bust. I know there's the, you know, are they a team that can turn it on the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
There's legitimate concerns in the playoffs. But in terms of the Schneid itself, what do you attribute this to? Is it indifference, senioritis? Is it wearing down? Is it pressure? Is it maybe potential real struggles for Donovan and Darius? More on that. And PFF's worst-case scenario for the Browns, I think it might be close to my worst-case scenario for the Browns in the draft as well. That's in 5 minutes. And Mock Me as well on 92.3 The Fan.